Hello, guys, and welcome to a brand new Lone Conservative production, The Campus Conservative. My name is Eric Schaefer, a contributor with Lone Conservative, and just as a little synopsis, we'll be talking on this podcast mainly about college issues, obviously, if you haven't read the title, specifically pertaining to conservatism on campus. And today, we have a very special guest for you. She's a current high school student, a Lone Conservative contributor who's going to be going into that confusing college world pretty soon. Summer Marie. Summer, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thanks. I want to talk a little bit before we go into the college issue, and I want to ask you a few personal questions. Would you consider yourself to be rather, religious, since you're more on that conservative side?
Yes, I would absolutely consider myself very religious, actually. I put a lot of thought into my faith, and my faith ties a lot into my decisions that I make as a person and who I am as a human being. So yes, I am religious.
And I want you to tell me a little bit, because, you know, high school is obviously a completely different sphere than college, especially in how conservative students face liberal bias. Tell me a little bit about what you've experienced in high school, and do you expect anything different going into college? I mean, what's the deal there?
High school, it's basically, to me, in a sense, the same way as life goes. You know, every 4 years when we have a major election, everybody loves to all of a sudden develop morals. I kind of ran with a crowd that was in, we have a liberal arts program called International Baccalaureate at my school, and that's where a lot of my friends, the classes that they were in, I got out of that program just because it wasn't doing anything for me as a person or as a student. However, the ideology that's behind the program is still very, very one-sided as far as what they're teaching, how they're teaching it, and it's more of that social justice feeling, per se. I'm really hoping college will be different. I think it just depends on where you go to, what school you go to as well. You know, of course, you know, I'm staying here in the South, so I might get more of a conservative feel than if I went to someplace like Boston or California. But, you know, the university I'm attending, University of Alabama, tried to bar Milo Yiannopoulos from speaking back in the fall, which didn't go over too well. So there's still a kind of a liberal feel to most universities, but I'm hoping that I'll hopefully be a part of the change there.
So even, do you live in, you know, there's certain blue areas within the South. I assume you live within a pretty red area.
Oh yeah, my entire state's red.
And yet your school still exudes social justice values.
Yes.
You know, it's really interesting how much we've seen liberals and leftists begin to dominate the American education system. And, I mean, are you planning to get involved with any groups when you go into college? Are you afraid that if you get a liberal professor, or a leftist professor, I should say, that you're going to have to espouse their opinions or face a bad grade? What are your concerns there?
Absolutely not. I have always been taught, you know, especially with my faith, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. And I think that really my thing is going to be going to college, that because I'm such a strong-willed person and I know who I am, that I'm not going to back down just because I'm scared of making a bad grade or I'm scared that somebody's not going to like me. This past year, whenever the election came around and I wrote my article, you know, I went from being popular and having friends and running with the big dogs on my school campus to being a nobody that nobody wanted to be friends with just because of me standing up for what I believe in. And, you know, I was upset about it, but at the same time, at the end of the day, it was, you know, I would much rather still be true to myself than to sacrifice my beliefs just to be somebody's friend or to get a good grade or to get on somebody's good side. So to answer your question, no, I'm not really worried about that. I'm sure it'll happen, and I'm sure I'll come across things and instances where I will have to, you know, decide, is it worth it? But at the end of the day, to me, it's always worth to be true to who I am.
And guys, for anyone in the audience who doesn't know, Lone Conservative, a little while back, they published an article titled Dear Hillary, and Summer was the author of it, and it went extremely viral. It got a lot of love and a lot of hate, and when Summer expresses that, you know, there were kids who began to isolate, I guess, shun her, it was because she simply expressed her opinion. Now Summer, now I understand you're maybe not as worried about the thought tactics of the left, and we'll get more into that. But are you worried now that we're seeing violent movements like Antifa beginning to make themselves prominent on campus? Or like at Berkeley, where there were violent riots among Antifa and some students alike. Are you worried that this violence could transcend into endangering yourself? Are you maybe not as scared about a bad grade, but more scared about physical violence being a conservative going on college campus?
Absolutely. It definitely is something that, you know, myself as well as my parents are worried about. You know, I don't condone violence in any form on either side. I don't care if it's a conservative doing it, a liberal doing it. I don't condone violence, you know. So in some cases, yes, I am concerned for my safety on a college campus because of the fact that, you know, I am a Christian conservative going to a school that has liberal tendencies. I don't really know what to say as far as how to react to that. I guess it's just one of those things where I think there's a time and place for when, you know, I'm gonna have to bite my tongue and choose whether or not to, not necessarily back off, but in a sense, at the same time, yes, back off because, just for safety reasons.
Now, there's a reason why I asked whether you considered yourself to be a religious person earlier on in the cast, and that's mainly for the fact that we're seeing it, religion, Christianity in general, being demonized on college campuses. How open are you going to be about your faith when you're on college campus?
My faith is really, like I said earlier, it's a huge part of who I am. I mean, I'm one of those people that, you know, I like to doodle the little Bible verses and stick them in my binders and stuff like that, and I wear a purity ring and I wear a necklace that, it's a cross that I got for my baptism. I'm pretty open about my faith. You know, I don't think that I should have a reason to be ashamed of it. As far as like, it is being demonized, and I hate that it is because, you know, there's good and bad to every, you know, religion out there. But I have never gone up to somebody and been like, oh, you're not a Christian. Guess what? I hate you and we can't be friends. But people will come up to me and go, I can't tell you how many times I've got like the stank face that goes, oh, you're a Christian? Mm. And it's just one of those things that people just judge you before they even, like, just because you're a Christian, they just judge you and they just assume that you're just snobby and you think that you're better than everybody. And it's just kind of like, or that you're... I got told this in my history class sophomore year, I'll never forget, that your values are outdated. So I think, like I said earlier, I'm very open about my faith. I don't really perceive any problems about being open about it. However, like I said, there's a time and place for everything. And sometimes if I have to kind of hold back and bite my tongue and maybe not say anything for the sake of me, you know, staying faced or being safe, then I will probably just do that.
Now, what you said really interests me. A teacher in sophomore year, right, told you that your values are outdated.
Yes.
Now, is this professor just blind to the fact that America is based on Judeo-Christian values, or?
It was a teacher, like a high school history teacher.
Wow.
She, to say, I don't really... She's very, very much so pushed her values onto us as students. And I called her out on it one day. I just looked at her and she said that to me. And it was like the last straw. I said, you can't say that. I said, you can say that wherever you want. I said, but not in this setting. I said, you're not allowed to try and push your beliefs on me any more so than I am allowed to try and push my beliefs on you or other people in this room.
Oh, no, keep going.
I reported it to our principal, and there were other times where she was blatantly and openly pushing, you know, Hillary Clinton and her political views onto other people, which, if most people are aware, is not allowed in a public school setting. And it just, nothing ever really became of it, but it was just kind of one of those things that I just kind of let it go because I wasn't involved with her anymore.
Now, I have to ask, did you ever see a professor maybe not blatantly pushing their political beliefs or blatantly pushing their religious philosophical beliefs on you to accept that? But have you ever maybe had a professor or a teacher, I guess I should say, because I've had professors and teachers like this, where they'll say, oh, I'm independent, I'm bipartisan, but in reality, you can tell they're pushing a narrative one way. They're trying to,
yes.
I've especially seen it in history, you know, it's not that surprising in college. Most colleges, in a study they found, there's a ratio of 33.5 to 1 ratio, liberals to conservative professors in history departments across America. You know, and I would always get history teachers that say, well, I don't believe either way. I see both sides. But when you ask them to answer specific questions, they'd say something like, they'd always take the leftist or liberal perspective. Have you ever seen that? What's your experience been with that?
Absolutely. My AP government teacher this year, actually, she would always say, you know, I don't have an opinion because legally, you know, in public school settings, she's not allowed to have an opinion. But whenever she would answer questions or, you know, when we would have group discussions about things that were currently going on or how do we feel about the executive orders or anything like that, you could always tell that there was just in her answers that there was just obvious bias, you know. And even so, even in my English, I took English Composition 101 and 102 online, and even in the comments and things that my professor would leave, they were just, you know, I would include my own opinion in my papers because we only had leftist sites to use for our citations and our resources in these papers. And when I would include my own opinion, she would get upset about it. And I finally just kind of told her, I said, you know, if you would let us use citations and sources that showed the other side, I wouldn't have to include my own opinion as much. But when you only do one side, it's obviously a biased paper. So yeah, I have had some people that were just kind of underlying. You could tell that they may not openly come out and say it because on a public school setting, they're legally not allowed to in class, but you can obviously tell when you ask them questions and when you ask them, oh, how do you feel about blank? They would just have those innuendos in there that would lead you to believe that they were obviously biased to one side.
And, you know, we've seen leftist ideology and liberal ideology, you know, they slowly took over campus philosophy and campus culture in the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s. And it seems as if now that's trickling down into high school. So throughout your entire 4 years of high school, have you seen more radical shifts toward the left? I mean, I would guess you have, especially with how Trump brought out the worst in just about everyone on that side of the aisle. Have you seen a slow shift more to the left in your high school experience?
Yeah. I've seen more people that, you know, have become just utterly, it just makes you wonder how on earth did you even get past high school? Because to me, it's just plain blindness to like how real life actually is. There's, you know, this whole idea of, oh, well, everything has to be fair. I was very fortunate. I went to a magnet school in middle school, which I love magnet school programs. I think there should be more magnet schools and charter schools available for children because they are allowed to provide, you know, they're allowed to discipline the children. They're allowed to, like, you know, I'm not talking about, like, it's not like the principal goes and has a paddle or anything like that. But if you get, you know, you get 3 strikes, you're out. You know, you don't get to come back to the school. And, you know, nothing was really, you could go, oh, that's not fair. And they'd go, well, sucks to suck, you know, get over it. That's how life is. And then when I got to high school, this transition of, you know, in the beginning, everything was kind of normal, but it's really sad to me to see how over the years, the demographic of my school has changed, the administration has changed because they're not allowed to do anything anymore. As far as, you know, we have kids, and I'm literally not exaggerating about this. We have kids who come to school with ankle bracelets on because they have to go to school. It's their fundamental right to education, even though, you know, they're supposed to be under house arrest. because they, you know, are in a gang and murdered somebody. You know, it's just casual.
Wow.
And I'm really not exaggerating. I know somebody who was in a class with someone who actually had to wear an ankle monitor at school to monitor and make sure that they were going straight from, like, home to school because they had been involved in gang activity and some drive-by shooting had happened and they were involved somehow and they're a minor still, so they still had to come to school and everything. But it's just, it baffles me to see, like, how much just in my own one setting, things have just, like, they had, the school was so great and prosperous and we were producing, like, great kids, but it's just, they've, like, lowered the standards so, so much that, you know, my school has my county has an 86% graduation rate, but we are like 52nd in the United States in math. And we're not producing kids that can, you know, actually accomplish things in life. We're just shoving people out so we can make ourselves look good. And it's just, honestly, that's because of the fact that, you know, they're trying to get all the money from the federal government. They're trying to make sure that they look good so that they keep getting all this good publicity. And they're not actually doing anything to help anyone learn anything.
And, you know, you brought this up a little earlier in your point about everything has to be fair. Your school has the philosophy that everything has to be fair. And conservatives and leftists share the fundamental belief that everything should be fair, but we go about it differently. Leftists go about everything should be fair in terms of equality of outcome. No matter what paths we take in life, no matter what mistakes we make, no matter how hard I work compared to someone else or how hard someone else works compared to me, we should end up in the same position. Whereas conservatives such as yourself, such as me, we believe in equal opportunity. Everyone, regardless of where you start off, should have the ability to rise up in the American system. And you're seeing a lot of people in college, in high school, because I was just recently in high school, I remember this. You're seeing them abandon this idea of equal opportunity. You're seeing them try to push through kids that, I'm sorry, shouldn't be getting through our school system. They shouldn't be considered, I guess you should say, productive members of society, yet the left is pushing them, or pushing this idea that they are productive members of society. Because we have to be diverse. Not in opinion, not in thought, and not in action, but just diverse in our physical appearance. So, you know, I assume your school, since you've talked a little bit about how they have some sort of an SJW presence, I assume they're pushing diversity. And if they are pushing diversity, is it the kind of diversity that we should be pushing, which is of thoughts? Because I don't want to speak for all schools here. Or is it pushing a diversity of skin color, but asking for conformity and a kind of a collective student body?
Definitely, more so that they're just pushing diversity and a physical appearance, not so much, you know, free thought and free speech. There were times that I would be sitting in class and, you know, I say things sometimes that just maybe shouldn't come out of my mouth, but do, and that aren't always maybe appropriate, but at the same time, it's my right to do so. Whether you like it or not is your issue. And there were several times that I just got told, you can't say that. And I just, one day I finally got tired of it and I said, why? And my teacher didn't have an answer. She just kind of was like, you just can't say that. It's rude. It's offensive. And so we definitely are, you know, it's funny that we're talking about this topic because last Thursday night, I actually gave a speech on a college campus about the First Amendment rights that are being violated on college campuses. You know, we're strangling students to the point where we all have to think the same. And, like, there's going to come a point in time where we're not going to have difference of opinion or difference of different thoughts or be allowed to, because they're forcing us all to think the same way, or they're at least attempting to. But, you know, there's always those few rebels that just are like, no, we're not going to do this. But it's just crazy to see, like, even all over the county, I have friends that, you know, it's all the same thing. They're all being taught the same, you know, the same way. You can't say this. You can't do this. We can't read this. You know, we can read a book about a kid in the Middle East who gets raped by another boy, but we can't read Huckleberry Finn. I'm sorry. I kind of have a problem with that. You know, we read a book and it was called The Kite Runner by Khaled Hosseini. Don't get me wrong. Great piece of literature. I liked the book. I liked the diction. I liked the different types of all the imagery in it, and it had great, you know, different story arcs throughout the whole thing where it just kind of all ties together at the end and you're like, oh my God, I didn't know that was going on the whole book. But at the same time, you know, I was a freshman reading a book that was talking about this commander or general, and he rapes this little Muslim boy twice because he was a Sunni, not a Shiite. And it's just kind of like you're sitting back and you're thinking, is this really appropriate to be reading? Like, we can read this, but we can't read, like, Huckleberry Finn? Or we can't actually read To Kill a Mockingbird out loud in class because it has inappropriate language in it? It's just kind of one of those things where you just have to sit back and go, okay, what ideology is really being pushed here? Like, what? It's basically, it's just censorship. You know, there's things that are being told, you can do this, but you can't do this. It's a double-edged sword that's being pushed on students.
And you know, the fact of the matter is, I experienced a little bit of that in high school. I can't say that I experienced the stuff with To Kill a Mockingbird or Huckleberry Finn. Those were required reading. We did get to read those. There was some skepticism and some people who got uncomfortable when the N-word was brought up in both those books. But just being uncomfortable around that word, that's obviously completely fine. No one was saying, oh, we shouldn't be saying that. Close the book. But I will say that I remember in my own school experience that there was one time in class, and we had just said the Pledge of Allegiance. We were watching the school announcements, and I forget exactly what was said, but it was something like one of the teachers got pranked. It was a teacher no one liked. And I said, I laughed, and I said, God works in mysterious ways. And one of these kids turned around and said, you can't say that. I'm like, what? And they're like, you can't say God. That's against school policy. And like four other kids joined in and said I couldn't say it. I'm like, there is no way. I was like ready to go to court. I'm like, there is no way saying God is against school policy. And I found out eventually that it wasn't. Like, I could say God. But it was this weird moment where, even whether you think it's a part of school policy or not, these kids were obviously bothered by the fact that I just mentioned a religious figure, or that I mentioned a religious being in school. And it got to me. And that's when I kind of started to realize the breaking down of free speech and the censorship that was going on. And it's just so odd. It's so odd that this is happening, because before we saw conservatives being the ones who suppress free speech, not in the way that liberals are now, not with violence, but, you know, in the media, they'd come out against liberal counterculture ideals. The culture in like the 80s was very conservative. There wasn't much tolerance for liberal ideals, but you never really saw a lot of violence. But we can't deny that there was some sort of conservative suppression in the culture. But the liberals have taken that conservative suppression that we saw in the 80s and have multiplied it by 1,000. I just don't understand where this is going. I don't know where it's going to go. My personal belief is that Generation Z, which is, you know, they're saying the most conservative generation in a while, is going to come along, and there's going to be a huge backlash, and it may not look pretty for leftists. It may be too much for them to handle, a quick shift in the culture, the quick shift in the culture that I think is going to happen.
Most definitely. I was just thinking about something, and this, just about people in general and everything, you know, as you mentioned, I'm getting ready to go off to school, and I barely qualified for any sort of scholarship at all. I made a 27 on my ACT, have a 4.1 GPA, and I got $3,500 a year. 14,000 over 4 years, and I got $3,500 a year. And University of Alabama, cost of attendance is about $30,000 a year. I have a friend, and he actually He's very liberal-minded. He voted for Bernie. He wants free college. He wants somebody to take care of him. He wants to be pampered and pet and told that he's special and that everything he does is okay. And he applied to Stanford. He made a 33 on his ACT, and he applied to Stanford. Involved, mm-hmm. did extracurriculars, you know. And he was so certain he was going to get in that he did not apply really anywhere else except for to the University of Alabama. His problem was that he was so dead set on getting in at Stanford that he did not make sure to keep checking his application status at Bama to see if he had been accepted or not. So he never got accepted because they never got his transcript, and he applied for his scholarships, but he never got his merit scholarship. Well, at Bama, if you get a 30, anything over a 30, really, you're basically going to get full tuition and probably then some. Because that's just the kind of school that they are. You work hard, you get a reward. He did not get into Stanford. Shocker. You know, Stanford gets, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of applicants every year. They only take in about 4,000 people into their freshman classes. That's like how many people are at my high school. So,
yeah.
He didn't get in. But then the other day he was picking his room to stay at Bama, and I asked him, I said, hey, you know, I thought you weren't going. And he said something about, well, I'm still going to go, and blah, blah, blah. He was like, but I only got $12,000 in financial aid. I said, do you want to know how much financial aid I got? None. I got offered loans. I said, you only got $12,000 in financial aid? I said, hun, I only got $3,500 a year out of $30,000 cost of attendance. And he said, this is just etched in my mind now. Well, our financial situations are different. I said, how? How on earth are our financial situations different? You drive around in a brand new car. You wear, like, all these fancy designer clothes and, like, shop only at, like, American Eagle and Urban Outfitters. Which, let me just explain something to you. I've only bought, like, one thing from American Eagle ever, and they're my school pants. And they were like $50, and that's why I've never shopped an American Eagle again. And I just kind of sat there and I said, I just looked at him and I will say that I kind of went off because it made me angry that he was complaining that somebody's handing him free money and he could have gotten more money if he had just taken more responsibility for himself. But instead he's choosing to blame everybody else. And he's like, this is why college should just be free, because then people like me wouldn't have to worry about it. And I just kind of looked at him and I said, maybe if you weren't driving around in a brand new 2016 car, or if you weren't having to spend all of your money on this or that or the other, you could have maybe put some of that money aside that you've been working for to go to college. And it's just kind of like, it reminds me of the same liberal mindset that these people, you know, I see people walking around and they're wearing, you know, designer clothes and Michael Kors purses, and they're sitting there complaining because they don't get free college.
It's really, really ridiculous. And here's the problem that I'm seeing with, you know, he's a Bernie bro, so of course he thinks this. But it's it's a problem that I'm seeing with a lot of leftist and socialist philosophy is, and I'm sorry, I know this isn't specifically pertaining to college, but, you know, it's so prominent on college campuses, you have to bring it up,
mm-hmm.
is they see capitalism as some zero-sum game. Like, there's one winner and there's one loser. But that's not true. In a capitalistic system, as long as you are making money to the point where you have a decent life, you are winning.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with socialism and leftism is that kid, and this is why I'm bringing up capitalism, is that kid gets $12,000 in aid. He probably sees someone else who's getting $15,000 and goes, well, why can't I have that? I want it. It's the problem is they see someone doing better than them and they want that. And even if they got, say he gets that $15,000, now he's going to see someone who's getting a full scholarship. I want that. Free college. It's such a ridiculous mindset. And it's a toddler mentality where they go, mine.
Mm-hmm.
This is my, they can't share. They can't accept because, 33 on an ACT, that's amazing.
Right.
But there's someone out there who got a 35 who deserves more than you because they probably worked harder or because they're probably smarter and the college wants a smarter kid. They can't understand that more work and it gets you more money.
More
reward. It's such a ridiculous concept, and it's why we're seeing this huge rise in demands for free college, because people don't want to work for that. They want it handed to them, but the fact of the matter is, if you make college free, if you start handing this stuff to them, and it's probably something this kid doesn't realize, the quality of college education diminishes drastically. So, I mean, I don't know how many kids you have to deal with who are like that on a daily basis, but I can personally say that I've never personally known someone. Well, actually, no, I have personally known one person, but not many people who are like that.
It's really alarming how many people I know like that. And I think for me, like, I can wrap my mind around the fact that, okay, you know, more work equals more reward, you know, because I was raised, you know, I did dance competitions, you know, you work harder, you get better, you get better scores. You practice until you are the best. If you want first place, you have to work for first place. Nobody's going to sit there and hand you a trophy, you know. And it sucked whenever you didn't win. You know, you worked your butt off. You thought you were so great. And then you get to this competition and you're just sitting there thinking, holy crap, like, I'm not going to win. And then at the same time, you have to sit back and think, I'm not going to win because I haven't worked as hard as these girls. You know, I went up against girls that, I'm not even kidding, they would train. They had to be part of the homeschooling program at the studio, and they trained for 8 hours a day. It was like a full-time job. 6 days a week. They got Sundays off. And these girls, you know, whenever they would win, you couldn't help but sit back and go, okay, you deserve it. You bust your butt. Like, you're looking at these people who perform amazingly, and, you know, yeah, you feel bad about yourself because you're going, dang, if I worked half as hard as her, imagine how good I'd be. But at the same time, you have to take, like, personal responsibility and go, okay, I didn't win because I'm not as good. Because why? I don't work as hard as her. And so it's like this constant, for me, life is just a constant competition. You're always wanting to be, and that might be a terrible mentality for me to have. I don't know. but I always, you know, I always see all of my, you know, everything as a competition. You know, I want to be the best. What is it going to take for me to be the best? And there's just some people that they don't have that. They don't have any work ethic. They just want things to be handed to them. And it's just kind of one of those things where you go, that's not how real life works. Like, in the event of, like, mass, like, destruction, you would be the one to die first. Like, that's kind of what you want to say to them some days, because they have no ability to work in general for anything that they want, need. Like, it's just, they just want things handed to them. And that's, we're losing this whole thing about, that's not how the real world works. It's just not. You can think that that's how it should work. And, you know, it'd be great if somebody would just hand me $1 million and let me go to college. Heck yeah, I would go anywhere that I wanted to go. But, you know, I also know, all right, that's not going to happen. Like, I need to work harder so that I can get more scholarship money, because that's just what it's going to come down to.
And, you know, I have this whole theory, and tell me if you think I'm on the dot here or if I'm wrong, you know, add on to this. But there was a study done where they showed that liberals outnumber conservative professors 11.5 or 12 to 1. All right, so that's obviously a vast difference. I have the feeling that a lot of this the reason leftism is spreading so rapidly on campus is because this generation has been raised to feel like they should be handed things. And on campus, one of the ways you're handed a good grade is if you just capitulate to the leftist professor or the liberal professor's viewpoint and regurgitate what they've said to you in class in terms of their opinion on paper. If you do that, you don't even have to put a ton of evidence. You just have to put some really biased sources. You write a paper on what the liberal professor said, and it's basically an easy A or B. I think one of the reasons that leftist ideology is spreading so fast on campuses is because people want to be handed these good grades, and they are handed these good grades if they regurgitate and adopt leftist philosophy. And that obviously permanently changes someone. So tell me, am I kind of on the dot here, or am I off? Like, why do you think one of the reasons that this is spreading so rapidly on campuses? Because I can't really think of anything else other than professors being overwhelmingly liberal and giving liberal kids privileges in class that conservative kids wouldn't get.
Absolutely. I think that, and this is just me, but, you know, when you're only hearing one side, and that side, you know, you're not really having to face reality. You know, you're on a cushy college campus, sitting in your cushy liberal arts class or your gender studies class or history class, whatever class it may be. You know, you're not having to deal with the real world. You're just not. You know, you have people take out all these loans and they don't really have to deal with it until they're out of college and they realize, oh, maybe I should have done something more productive with my 4 years. You know, you're not having to deal with the fact that you may not be able to make rent this month, or you may not be able to feed your kids this month. You're just having to sit in class and do what you got to do to pass. And for some people, I think that they just don't bother to go see the other side. They don't bother to seek out other sources and seek out, you know, the opposite side of what they're being taught. They just figure, oh, if I just, you know, kind of sort of BS my way through this and regurgitate what my professor said, I'll just get a good grade because he'll like me or she'll like me, and it'll just be the end of it. And it's just a form of kissing butt. You just want a good grade. So if you kiss your professor's butt, they're bound to just give you a good grade because they like what you're saying. And you know, all you know, sometimes, you know, liberal ideology does sound great. You know, free college, like, yeah, that'd be great. Be great to not have to worry about how I'm supposed to pay my way through the University of Alabama for the next 4 years and possibly 2 to 3 more years after that. That would be great. But at the same time, again, I bring this back up. That's not the way that the real world works. And they're not experiencing that. And so I feel that maybe the reason they're all buying into this liberal ideology is because they're not having to really deal with anything outside of that. They're just, that's the only thing they're being spoon-fed, and so they're just buying into it. And it all sounds great and wonderful and fantastic, but it's just not how it is.
I feel like you could give a lot of these liberals and a lot of these leftists just a tiny dose of reality if you made them take basic economics, specifically teaching them about opportunity cost. So if I take, because, you know, you see a lot of, you brought that up, you see a lot of these liberal people, you see a lot of these leftist people, they're taking useless degrees in liberal arts and thinking that will transcend into a successful future. And when they realize they can't pay off their loans, they get mad at society, even though they were the ones that majored in an unmarketable major, like art history. So I think if you made these people take a basic economics class and taught them about opportunity costs. Like, for example, if you take art history, the opportunity cost is going to be that you can't take an in high demand field, which means that you're likely not going to be able to pay off your college loans as fast. So don't blame people that you took an unmarketable major. You know what I mean? They need to learn these basic life lessons, and they need to learn these basic concepts of economics, because some basic concepts of economics do transcend into real life, and not just, like, you know, in the economic realm of real life. I mean, into real life situations extremely well.
Right, and I think that a lot of, especially like our generation, this has been brought up a lot. You know, we grew up being told that we could be whatever we wanted to be if we only tried hard enough. And you can do whatever you want in life, Summer. You can be whoever you want to be. You can have whatever job you want to have. And, you know, that's great when you're a little kid, because when you're a little kid, you have all this imagination, and it's great to be able to dream and think, well, what if I want to be a ballerina? What if I want to be a neurosurgeon? What if I want to take care of animals? Like, that's something that, you know, I'll probably tell my kids, like, you can do whatever you want in life. But at the same time, our parents never really added on the part about reality. You know, mm-hmm. There comes a point in time where would I love to be an underwater basket weaver? Sure. Is it going to make me money and, you know, provide me and my future family with enough money to live an adequate life? Probably not. There has to be a balance at some point with, you know, you as a human, where it comes down to the fact that, yes, I love dance. Am I the best dancer? No. Am I the skinniest dancer? No. Am I probably going to be successful if I try to go somewhere like NYU or try to go to New York anywhere or go to LA and work in music video industry? No. You know, I love dance, and that's been something I danced for 15 years of my life. I love it. It's been a passion of mine. I would love to maybe do a side job in the future about with choreography and stuff like that. But when it came down to it, I realized, okay, there is no need for me in the dance industry right now. What's something else that I can do that I would like to pursue that I can, that there is a need in the market for that I can sell myself? Because when you get a degree, whenever you get a job, whenever you're going for a job interview, whenever you go to any kind of interview, audition, anything, where you're going for a potential job, you got to sell yourself. Why are you different than the 12 other people that just walked in here? What makes you special? What makes you different? What sets you apart? Is it your great personality? Is it your credentials? Is it your good looks? I mean, I'm sorry, but sometimes it comes down to that. Like, are you pretty to look at? Because, you know, if you're working in PR, you're not going to, I'm sorry, but if you're ugly, nobody's going to hire you. I'm just being honest. Like, that's what it comes down to, you know. It's not like they hired Megyn Kelly for her, just for her brains, you know. She's nice to look at on Fox News when she was still working there. That sounded so shallow, but it's the truth, you know. Society likes pretty people.
You have to have a good brain and good looks. If you just have one or the other, you're not going
to
get hired.
Exactly. That's my point. You know, you have to be able to sell yourself. And when you're trying to do that in a market that there's just not a need for, you know, college to me is an investment in yourself. You know, I don't have a problem with spending all the money that I'm spending on a degree. And I think part of the problem here that we're seeing is that, you know, first of all, not everyone has to go to college to be successful. I know people who, I have a friend and her boyfriend came out of school with his welding certificate, and he's making like $27 an hour doing welding.
Wow.
You know, that's more than most college kids come out making an hour. You know, they make $10 an hour and they can't pay back their student loans because they majored in gender studies or art history or, you know, even business or general studies or international studies. All of those are now are becoming so common that you kind of like, or communications, you kind of just want to sink back and go, ooh, like, okay, like those are all so common now. Like everybody's being told that they, in the public school sector, at least, they're pushing the whole college agenda on people that may or may not succeed in college. And they're pushing us to go to these huge, you know, people, whenever they think of college, they all want to go to these huge universities and private colleges. And you don't have to go to a huge university to be successful. You know, I could have been just as satisfied with what I want to do with my life if I had gone to the University of South Alabama 5 minutes down the street from my house. But I didn't want to go there. And that's, I understand that that's my choice, that I'm making the conscious decision to go spend like way more money at a different school because I want to go there, because I went there and, you know, I got there. And the second I stepped foot on that campus, I thought, you know, I'm home. Like I can do this here. I just fell in love. And so, you know, I'm making the financial sacrifice to do what I want, but I also understand that it is a sacrifice. You know, I'm not going to sit back when I get out of school and go, I'm $120,000 in debt. That's not fair. Like, no, I made the decision to do it. It was my decision, my responsibility. You know, I'm taking that on myself. I'm not going to sit back and go, well, why is this fair that I spent this much money on a degree, but so-and-so only had to spend this much money on a degree? Because at the end of the day, like if you can totally go to a big university, but you know, I know people who have taken classes with like Bishop State Community College right here in Little Mobile, Alabama, and now work as like the head of such and such department at Austell.
You know, I remember when I was 13. I was too old to be thinking this way, but I think the last time I ever thought like this was when I was 13. And I was convincing myself that I was going to be a pro football player. I was saying I was going to go to Duke, be a college football player, and move on to the pros. And my mom sat me down one day. And this is what more parents need to do. I think she waited a little too long to do it. But she sat me down one day, and she knew – before I say this, she's pretty good at history. She knows a bit about Ronald Reagan's life. She said, you know, Eric – Ronald Reagan's mom did this to him, and I think I'm going to have to do it to you. You're not going to be a pro football player. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, you're not going to be a pro football player, Eric. You're just – that's not you. Because I was more of a brainy kid. I don't know. I played in, you know, Pendel football. I was decent. I wasn't good. I wasn't bad. But I thought I was, like, the best kid ever. She laid it on me. She was nice about it, but she laid it on me. I'm not going to be a pro football player. I wasn't good enough. And then maybe 2 years later, she's like, okay, Eric, let's be honest here. You're not going to get into Duke. Be more realistic.
Oh, God.
So it's just – it's parents have to put down a layer of realism on their kids. You can't let kids go through their lives as we're seeing right now. You can't let kids go through their lives – thinking that they are going to be the biggest and the best success. Because it does lead to that rise of leftism and socialism. Because the instant they see that they're not the biggest and the best success, they want to punish other people who are bigger and better successes than them. I don't want to punish kids who go to Duke because I'm going to UNC Wilmington.
Right.
Still really good school. I love it. But I don't want to punish kids who go to Duke because I tried in high school, but I wasn't as smart. I could have tried harder. And this is where I ended up. I'm not going to punish someone else who probably worked harder than me. Actually, who did work harder than me, I should say. who got better grades than I did, who did more extracurriculars than I did. I don't want to punish someone else for working harder than I did. And, you know, you always hear people bringing up these marginal cases of, well, this guy inherited his wealth. What about him? Okay, but the person he inherited his wealth from worked harder than you, so you don't get it. It's simple. But it's – and, you know, you brought up the case about bigger and smaller universities. I agree. You know, when I was younger also, they implanted this idea in your head that you have to go to Duke. You have to go to a private Ivy League like Stanford. You have to go to some huge, ginormous school like Penn State. And it's – at the end of the day, that's not true. If you work hard, you can find success just about anywhere you go. And quite honestly, if you can find – obviously, you have to worry about how high quality the teachers are. But if you can find at least a mid-quality small university, it's going to definitely save a lot of costs. And you're going to be able to pay off those loans faster, especially if you take a major that's in relatively high demand. So
absolutely.
I don't see where all this resentment is coming from. Or I don't see – you know what? I do see where it's coming from. I see where the resentment from the left is coming from. What I don't understand is how they connected two and two together of, because you are more successful than me, I am in my current situation. When
right.
In reality, they put themselves in their current
like,
situation.
Like, it's your fault that my life is the way that it is. Like, it's just
exactly.
That's not how it is. And also, just a small correction for you there. Stanford is not an Ivy League. It's kind of one of those. It's
right.
Kind of one of those like Vanderbilt. It's kind of like and Duke. They're like kind of almost they're kind of almost Ivy Leagues, but they're not technically Ivy Leagues.
Thank you for that correction. Making me look bad on my show, Summer. God,
look, better me than somebody who doesn't like your show that's trying to go. It's not credible information because he didn't even know that Stanford wasn't an Ivy League. just saying. You know, I think more parents need to do that, honestly. And I think part of the problem with, you know, our generation in particular is that we're just some disrespectful little turds. Like, pardon my crude little French there, but we're just disrespectful. I cannot even believe the way that some people talk to, like, other people in authority. You know, I would never, I've seen people disrespect their parents in public, and I'm just sitting there going, my mother would hit me, like, right across the face. You know, we have so many parents that are trying to, like, be friends with their children, and that's not good for them, because you have to discipline your kid. You know, if you don't have discipline in your life, you're not going to be a productive adult in society. You're going to end up like these people that are chanting in the streets as part of the Antifa, that are banging other people upside the head with like bricks and stuff, you know, and spraying tear gas in people's faces. I mean, it's just the lack of respect that I see just in society now, you know, it's just insanity. Like, I stand up for what I believe in to people in authority, but in a respectful manner.
Yeah.
You know, I respect the right to your rights, to your opinions. However, you should not trample on my rights to mine, you know. But there's just people that, oh my God, the second that you don't have the same opinion as them, oh, you should just go kill yourself. What? I'm sorry, what? Like, I have heard people say that, and it's just crazy. And most of that is just because lack of parenting. You know, my parents sat me down and, you know, as a young child, yeah, you know, I got the whole spiel about, Summer, you can do whatever you want in life. But, you know, at one point, there was a time when I was like, I want to be a Radio City Rockette. Let me tell you something. I'm 5'5", and I'm short and stout. I'm like 5'5", and I weigh about, like, and we're not going to say how much I weigh, but I'm short and stout. So, you know, I'm not tall and skinny and lanky like the Rockettes are, you know. And there was just at one point where I really wanted to be on Broadway, and I wanted to go out to LA, and I wanted an agent. And, you know, I thought I was really good at dance, and I still think I'm really good at dance. But there came a point in time when my mother sat me down too, and she was like, Summer, I love you, and I'm glad that, you know, this is something you're passionate about. She's like, but maybe it's time to be more realistic. And at the time, I was heartbroken. Like, don't get me wrong, it hurt. And I, you know, grieved over my dance career that never started. It's not true. I had some things that I did, but like, it was just kind of one of those things where you have to sit back and go, all right, you know, maybe she's right. Like, you know, I'm not the best. Can't blame anybody but myself for that, because I didn't work as hard. I didn't train as hard as the other girls. You know, I don't train like a New York City ballerina. I can't expect to dance like one. And, I'm sorry, I keep reverting back to the dance thing, but that's honestly where a lot of my discipline came from, was my faith and, you know, dance, because that was my major extracurricular that I stuck with throughout my whole life. And it was just one of those things where it was kind of like what you said, like, dang, Mom, all right, guess you think I suck. But it wasn't that. It was just there's a point in time where you have to let go of that little kid imagination and grow up and make adult decisions. And adult decisions aren't fun. Like, let me just say, this whole year of trying to make the right decision, and especially as a Christian, because Lord only knows, like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, all right, am I sure this is what God wants me to be doing? Like where am I? Like, it's very stressful. Like, I can't explain how much anxiety I get over having to make adult decisions about, like, that affect me for quite literally the rest of my life, you know.
Yeah.
But they have to be made, and you just sometimes you got to put on your big girl pants and do it. I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. It's just, you kind of have to just suck it up and deal with it.
Well, you know, I agree with that 100%. And Donald Glover, really famous comedian and I think rapper, singer, he said it best when you were talking about kids being so disrespectful to anyone in authority and to each other. And he wasn't talking about college kids, but they act like little children, which is who he was talking about.
Right.
But Donald Glover expressed the sentiment that kids are tiny Hitlers. So I can kind of agree with that sentiment nowadays, especially with all these fascistic, violent actions you see people taking up. It's really not that far. They call the right Hitler for wanting to protect free speech or protect babies in the womb. But, you know, the instant they try to shoot down free speech, or the instant they beat up someone who they disagree with or mace someone who they disagree with, they're not Hitler. They're not fascist. That's fine. That's against Hitler and against fascism.
It's all in the name of anti-fascism whenever they
do it. Exactly. It's justice, Summer.
That's where the hypocritical attitude comes out that I just can't stand, because, all right, like, you're standing for all this equality and, you know, social justice, but you're turning around and infringing on my rights because you don't like what I say, or you don't like the way I dress or the way that I look. Like, this kills me at this point. Now, you know, Kendall Jenner, for instance, obviously she's white and she's a model. She goes to other places and does covers for Vogue. You know, she's well known with Vogue. Her and Gigi Hadid and obviously Bella Hadid, they all, you know, are all successful models. And yes, they're white. And yes, Bella and Gigi were kind of born into it. And Kendall just kind of happened into it because of the way her family works. But nonetheless, they are successful in what they do. And they go to other countries, and all of a sudden it's a huge crisis when you see them wearing traditional garb from other countries because they're white. Mm-hmm. And I've never understood that, because when I go to other, well, I've never been to another country, but when I go to, this is going to sound really, really terrible, but like Epcot and Disney World, you know, they have the little, Epcot's like the little around the world thing. And, you go and there's like, you know, they do a pretty good job of representing like different cultures around the world. And, you know, you see the traditional like Japanese garb. And, when you go, we have like an international festival here every year, and you go and you see the traditional Indian garb. White people aren't allowed to wear that, apparently, because that's us trying to whitewash everything. And
appropriation.
Cultural Summer. Appropriation. Excuse me. Cultural appropriation. That's what it is. That's what I was trying to refer to.
Yeah, it's evil. Evil practice that should be stopped.
Okay, so what am I allowed to wear? Because pretty much everything, like, kind of, like, American culture, like, it all culminates from different places, but I'm not allowed to embrace that because of my skin color. You know, crop tops. First time I ever saw a crop top was on Princess Jasmine, and that movie was taking place in Saudi Arabia. So are crop tops now Middle Eastern? Are we not allowed to wear those? I don't wear them, but in general, you know? It's just kind of one of those things where it's like, if I try to go and embrace other culture, all of a sudden I'm trying to whitewash it. Like, no, like, I love embracing other culture. Like, I can't help that my skin tone is a little too pale, but, you know, I was born with this skin. It's just white. It's pasty. But it's just one of those things where it's kind of like cultural appropriation. Like, where on earth, who made that up? Who on earth made that up? I think it's terrible how we sexualize animals for Halloween. I don't think you should be able to dress up as a bunny, because bunnies didn't ask to be sexualized in that way. Girls put on bunny ears and lingerie. Oh, that is animal appropriation, and that shouldn't be allowed at all.
Animals have their own culture that needs respected.
Exactly.
Like the dolphin.
Oh, the dolphin, definitely.
The dolphin. Humans shouldn't commit infanticide, not because it's killing a baby, but because dolphins commit infanticide, and that's a key part of their culture.
Absolutely.
They actually do, by the way. Dolphins are evil, evil animals.
Dolphins are mean, but they're nice to humans, but they're also mean.
Well, apparently they actually get jealous. Like, if there's
really?
A woman around, I was reading, like, some articles. If there's a woman around and a male dolphin is near the woman, they'll get jealous if someone else tries to approach the woman, and they may attack the other person or try to keep the woman away from other people. So it's interesting. Dolphins have a very weird way of living. But, you know, we're almost out of time here, so I want to get your opinion on one final thing, and then, you know, tell people where they can find you, anything that you've been working on that you can tell them about, or that you feel excited to tell people about. But, you know, you brought up kind of a little bit the skin color thing that's going on college campus, or mm-hmm. college campuses, where if you're white, you're evil. And if you're black, if you're Hispanic, if you're anything else, you're virtuous. And it's starting to prove that these leftists, these liberals, they are the real racist ones on college campuses. Because I could care less if you're black. I could care less if you're Hispanic. I care how you act. I care what your morals are. But a lot of these people are associating bad morals, negativity, and evil with being white. I mean, how does that feel for you? What do you make of that?
It definitely, it hurts me in some aspects because I cannot help that I was born white any more than somebody else can help that they were born black or Latino or, you know, Chinese or Vietnamese or Haitian. You know, I can't help that. I was born with this skin tone. I was born out of the womb in the same sense that you were. We both came out of our mamas, probably in a hospital if we're living here in America. I mean, I don't know. Some people are born in cabs on the way to the hospital. You know, and it does hurt that because of something that I can't control, I am looked on as the Antichrist. And I am supposed to have some sort of privilege that I know nothing about. Truthfully, I sat in the room the other day and somebody said something about, oh, you have white privilege. I said, you know what? I wish this white privilege would get me some more money for college because I have jack squat. I said, I wish somebody would give me money for being white because I know they gave you money for being Latino to go to college. And because she got a first generation scholarship and I applied for the same scholarship. We both had the same qualifications, and it's not like they only give out one. They give out, like, multiple. And she got it, and I didn't. And I was like,
wow.
And to me, it's kind of one of those things where, honestly, this is going to sound terrible, but I think for some people, it's now become a crutch. Oh, she got it over me because she's white. No, she got it over you because she probably worked harder. You know, maybe y'all didn't have the same qualification. Maybe y'all didn't have the same credentials. Maybe you didn't have the same personalities. It's kind of one of those things where it's just ridiculous at this point because, again, I can't help that I was born white any more so than somebody else can help that they weren't. Exactly. And I don't understand why I should be treated differently.
So we're out of time for today. Summer, where can people find you outside of the podcast? And are there any projects that you've been working on that you'd like to tell people while we're still on the air?
You can find me on Twitter at TheSummerMarie. I don't really have any projects that I'm working on. I've been working on a couple of articles that are kind of controversial that I don't know if I'm really wanting to put out there right now in case people do find it and my college sees it and they're like, oh, great, this girl. I do have some stuff in the works, but nothing really major. Like, I'm not writing a autobiography or anything fancy like that. I'm not announcing my Senate campaign yet. Gotta wait a few more years for that one. But no, I'm just really honestly just trying to focus on getting ready to flee my nest and spread my wings and flap them until I fall to my death.
Well, Summer, I hope you find great success. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Guys, if you want more of me, follow me on Twitter at Lord Chafee. Amazing handle, I know. And follow the show on Twitter at Campus Con Show. This has been the Campus Conservative. Have a wonderful rest of your day, guys, and have a wonderful rest of the week. We'll see you next Tuesday. Have a great one.